Ryan, guest growl. That a good. There you go. Wait, that Chris Morales. That was just in. That was like the ultimate cheap shot. Morales must be mad at me about something again. I haven't talked to him in a while. I have to get with him. But hey, Brian Kamenetsky is here, and it's a good thing you are, Brian, because the top story today is the Lakers are going to be one man down going to the Orlando bubble, and that man is Avery Bradley. And as it just so happens, you, in one of your many other jobs, have written an article about this on The Athletic that posted today about where the Lakers might go.
Yes. By all reports, it looks like the guy that they're at least focused on right now is J.R. Smith, who we all remember from various highlights and gifts and all kinds of other things. But, like, you know, at one point was a pretty productive NBA player. The rules out there, John, make it really hard to go find somebody who's going to be particularly productive. So if it's not J.R. Smith, you know, there are guys like Jerry and Grant or Iman
Shumpert.
Okay,
so I have a list.
Like that. Yeah.
I have a list that I want to get into with you. But first, let's check some boxes here. First of all, I want to comment on Avery Bradley.
Yes.
You, I thought, put it well in the article. For people who don't know the background on this, Avery Bradley is a very, very socially conscious about the Black Lives Matter movement and about everything else that's going on. But in the end, what probably decided made his decision of him not going to Orlando mm-hmm. had to do with his family. He has three kids, including a six-year-old son, and his son had respiratory issues. And as you cite in your Athletic piece, there is a decent chance, because his son has respiratory concerns, that they would not have allowed him to go into the bubble anyway. Families would be able to go into the bubble if you make a deep run. The Lakers are expected to make a deep run. I think Avery looked at the whole landscape. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he looked at the fact that he has family concerns. He's very active in the Coalition for Social Justice. And for him, personally, the timing wasn't right. And I can tell you, as a Laker fan and somebody who's covered Bradley all year, I have zero issue with this. And I hope other Laker fans don't either. What's your take on it?
I don't see. Here's the thing. I don't see how you could ever fault somebody for putting the health of their family at the top of their priority list. And, you know, we've seen it a little bit around, you know, Trevor Ariza is not going to play because he has visitation questions with his one of his children. And that's when it would be that's the time he can be with his kid. You know, we see it now with Avery Bradley, where he's afraid really of bringing virus to his son or being separated from his son for that long. I mean, one of those two things are going to have to happen there. And so he doesn't want to do it. I mean, I think you're going to end up needing to categorize some of these things into different buckets, where the guys who stay home because they're worried about their families or they're worried about their health, if you're a fan and you're upset by that, the problem is you. Where I'm really interested, John, is what happens to the guys who stay because either they just don't want to go because they're scared of the virus generally, because they're going to be free agents. I mean, there are all kinds of reasons I think you're going to start to see players drop out. But in the case of Bradley, it does look like family considerations were the primary thing that are going to keep him at home.
Well, I'll take it a step further, Brian, and I've been saying this for 3 weeks. I have no issue if people sit out for any of the reasons you listed. If you don't want to go to Orlando, don't go. It's a personal decision. There are some people that are very, very worried about COVID. If you are, I think you have good reason to be. There's a million questions we don't have answered about this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we'll get into on the show today is I'm not so sure all these sports are going down the way that we all think they're going down. I think that there could be a lot of changes and a lot of curveballs coming, all because of COVID. And if you are uncomfortable going into the Orlando campus for any reason, don't go. And I have zero issue with you. I think that
I don't. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Now there may be some fans because, you know, we live in an era of social media and there may be some fans that, you know, that call out some of these guys. I guess it was Evan Fournier who already got on Davis Bertans, who plays for the Washington Wizards, has elected not to go into the campus for a variety of reasons. He's had two ACL injuries. He's a free agent. It was, you know, he basically was kind of a synopsis of everything you drew up.
Free agent at a time in a summer where he's going to be one of the premier guys. I mean, for people who might be kind of just sort of laughing at Davis Bertans, like who is that? Like he is going to sign a big money deal this offseason, at least as big money is available out there after all this, because there isn't anyone else. And so he had a great season in Washington. He's set up for what might be the only big payday of his career. So like, why is he's on the Washington Wizards? They're not winning anything. They probably don't even make the playoffs if they go. And if they do, Milwaukee's going to sweep them. So like, what is he risking? So I, if I were him, I would skip it too.
Yeah. I have zero issue with anybody who skips it. I really do. I think that it's a personal decision. And I think if you are the Lakers in this case, you look at Avery Bradley and you thank him for telling you early that he's not coming and you adjust. So let me start there, Brian. How big of a loss on the court is Avery Bradley in your opinion?
It's significant. I mean, he's the starting point guard for a team that won 49 games. So he's not nothing. Like, is he irreplaceable? Absolutely not. Like, the Lakers have a lot of guys that can slide in and out of there. When he was, I think, how many games did Avery miss earlier in the year? I think it was 13.
20.
20. Okay. Even more.
You know what the Lakers, KCP started for him in those 20 games. You know what the Lakers' record was?
What?
17-3.
There you go. And KCP's percentages were way higher as a starter. You know, he shot in the 40s as a three-point shooter, and you know, his regular shooting percentage was up. KCP played really well as a starter. And then you start to go a little further down the depth chart. I was reading, somebody put out a great tweet that 80% of Alex Caruso's minutes came without Bradley on the floor. So he's a guy who doesn't need to play next to Avery Bradley. He spent very little time doing that. And by now, I think most Laker fans know about the incredible fourth quarter numbers that that Caruso has in terms of his net rating and his plus minus and all that. And then the numbers that Caruso's put up in terms of net rating playing with AD and LeBron are crazy good. So KCP is there. You know, Danny Green is there. Like, they have other guys that can fill in. It just makes them thinner. If somebody gets hurt, they got a problem. If guys go cold, they have one less option. It's not good, but it's not fatal. It just puts them closer to a problem if anything else goes wrong.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Lakers are a better team without Avery Bradley. He was a starter, like you mentioned, and they're better with him. But as you pointed out, most of these minutes now are going to Caruso and to KCP. Both those guys probably have deserved more minutes than they've gotten this year based on how well they've played. There were, you know, Frank Vogel has to manage minutes and there just weren't enough to go around. So this could be, especially for Caruso, this could be an opportunity for him to really step up and make a name for himself. I think KCP is what he is. He's been great. I think he probably gets more of Bradley's minutes. I think Bradley was playing around, if I remember correctly, 24 to 26 minutes a game. I think KCP is about the same. So maybe KCP gets 2/3 of those minutes. Caruso gets the rest. And you sprinkle in Rondo. Maybe Quinn Cook gets an opportunity.
He'll probably play a little bit, yeah.
And then there's this question, do the Lakers replace him? And J.R. Smith, as Adrian Wojnarowski has reported, is the leader in the clubhouse to replace Avery Bradley. And by the way, for people who want to get on Avery Bradley, Avery Bradley's giving up close to $500,000 in salary and is probably going to get released. So if you think that Avery Bradley's doing this for any other reason than his family or his personal belief, you're crazy. I mean,
he doesn't gain anything from it.
Right.
That's for sure.
There is no, you know, situation if he gets released that would help him. And it seems to me that, and I'd have to look into the money. The Lakers might have to pay him anyway. But it's still, I mean, it would in essence end his tenure if that's what the Lakers decide to do. He's now given them the opportunity to replace him.
Yeah, I think the rules, I got to look it up. The rules are a little bit confusing.
Right.
I think if they wait until after the first and he doesn't go, then the Lakers can add a player to replace him without releasing him. And he's a player option for next year, and the expectation is he'll be back. But either way, you're right. I mean, it's not like he gains like $2 million
just
sitting at home.
There's no
incentive.
Yeah. There's no move here where he pockets a bunch of money for sitting out.
Right.
Or puts himself in a better position by sitting out.
By the way, the pocketing money for sitting out, we call that the Steve Mason.
Yeah. The big fishy buyout
today,
as Mason much coined it. Yeah. So J.R. Smith looks like the likeliest option. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, he's familiar with LeBron, and LeBron, of course, is going to be the reason the Lakers either win it or don't win it. The universe is going to circle around LeBron. It also doesn't hurt Brian that he's a clutch client. The Lakers have several clutch players on their roster. Rob Pelinka, very familiar with Rich Paul and that agency. He trusts them. They trust him. Do you think that has anything to do with why J.R. Smith has moved to the top of the list?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is like the 11th time Smith has been connected to the Lakers in one room or another. Remember, Smith was on the list when they eventually got settled on Deion Waiters. J.R. Smith was another name that was out there. He was somebody that people thought they might sign over the summer last year. It's like his name has been out there. And now when you break it down, John, too, it's like, you know, he's a clutch client. LeBron is comfortable with him and knows him. And think about like the mechanics of trying to get new people into your system and into your setup and work them out and try them out and all that stuff right now. Everybody's headed to Orlando soon. You're in the middle of a pandemic. It's hard to get from point A to point B. You can only have so many people in a room to conduct a workout. Like, nothing about this logistically is easy. So if you have somebody like Smith who you know you're familiar with, everybody's comfortable enough or whatever, and you don't have to go through all that other stuff, it kind of just makes sense to pick the guy that you know, especially when none of these guys are probably going to make that much of a difference in the end.
Well, and as you pointed out, they already worked him out. When they had Deion Waiters and settled on Deion, they worked out J.R. Smith that week. So they've got a relationship with him. They know what he's been up to. They worked him out recently. And what becomes invaluable in a playoff setting for the Lakers is a guy who could spot up anywhere on the court and bury threes. LeBron and AD their minutes are going to go up when the postseason starts. They naturally draw a double team. If you try and single cover LeBron James or Anthony Davis, they're going off for 50. It's just not happening. Those guys are getting doubled almost every time they catch the ball. And when they do, if you have the ability to catch and shoot and fill it up from the outside, even if you're only in the game for 10 minutes, that can be the difference between a win and a loss. And I think that's why they settled on Deion Waiters when they did, that Deion has that ability. And I think J.R. Smith is there. I mentioned, Brian, that I have a list. I mean, a lot of people are saying, J.R. Smith, why would the Lakers go with J.R. Smith? I have a list of what their options are. And when you hear the list, I think you'll see why J.R. has moved to the top. We'll get into that next. Brian Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And today it's Brian Kamenetsky and Ireland for your drive home. I hope you're driving. The streets are getting a little busier. I can no longer leave at... What? That's a good sign. Maybe everything's coming back. And
there's always traffic by the beach.
It depends. The freeways is the indicator. If people are starting to get stuck on the freeways, then that's a good sign.
Yep.
That people are starting to come back. So we mentioned off the top of the show, Avery Bradley told the Lakers last night he is not going to Orlando. He has opted out of the Orlando campus. And now it's up to the Lakers to decide whether or not to replace his spot on the roster with another player. J.R. Smith, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, has run to the top of the line. Brian, here are a list of players that the Lakers could sign instead of J.R. Smith. You just tell me one word, yes or no. would you take this guy over JR? Okay.
Okay.
Tyler Ennis, former Laker.
No.
Tim Frazier.
No.
Justin Anderson.
Yes, I think I might take him. I think he can do more stuff. He's a better defender.
He's athletic, but I don't know how you get him trained into your system, like you talked about. You know, like how do you get him used to playing with LeBron? Now, here's one. Here's an interesting one. Alan Crabb.
Oh, the shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I suspect Alan Crabb is a better player at this point than J.R. Smith.
Trey Burke.
Yes.
Okay, Nick Young, Swaggy P.
Oh, I mean, it pains me to say it, but no, I would sign JR. JR feels like a slightly better version of Nick Young at this point. As Nick's been out for a little while.
All right, Jody Meeks, another former Laker.
I didn't even realize he was still active. No, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Nick Stauskas.
No, I would not sign Nick Stauskas.
Now, here's an interesting one, because this guy's played with LeBron, and I didn't even know he was available until I saw this on a list. Iman Shumpert.
Yes.
I don't know if he's healthy.
Iman Shumpert,
is he healthy?
I don't know that either. I don't know. And he was on Brooklyn for like an hour and a half earlier this year, I believe. And he's a lot younger because he's bounced around so much, people think he's older than he is. Like, J.R. Smith's going to turn 35 while the Orlando tournament's going on. He is an older guy. He's been around a long time, and it's been a while since Smith was productive. Shumpert is younger than people think. I would probably sign him. If nothing else, he's going to be a better defender than J.R.
All right, here's a guy I love, but I don't know if he's a better fit, considering that they've already worked out J.R., Jamal Crawford. I think he's even older than JR.
Yes, but he's in love basketball shape.
I love Jamal. I love him. He's such a great guy.
I am going to say, yeah, because Jamal is such a great human and a great guy, and it brings so much enthusiasm for basketball to this place where you want guys who are enthusiastic about it. He is a, you know, Jamal in his best days was never a good defender, and he will tell you that. He is well past that point of his career. But I will say this. If the goal is to have somebody on the roster who you can pull off the bench when you need to pull a rabbit out of your hat and try to get you need, you know, somebody to get you 17 points in 15 minutes, you have a much better shot at that with Jamal Crawford now than you do J.R. Smith. I don't think there's any question. So it depends a little bit on what you want. Crawford's a better playmaker. He doesn't have the length that Smith has. Smith is 6'6". He's a bigger body. You can play him on the wing. You can't do that with Crawford. I would rather have Jamal around, but I could see why they would say J.R. Smith positionally makes more sense because he's can play the wing.
All right, I don't know if it's fair to put this guy on the list because he's already said he's not going to play, but can we put Darren Collison on this list?
I mean, he already did a thing where he sat next to Genie in the front row, and he got
right.
all the nice,
and then
you know,
then decided he didn't want to play.
Right. So I mean, obviously they would take him, but he can't. He's not coming back for this, right?
Okay.
If he is, the Lakers should go out and get him. But
former Laker Isaiah Thomas, injury issues there.
Yeah, I would agree. Can't
but that's the list. And if you hear that whole list, yeah, there are some names. You did it. There are some names you could say maybe, but not too many. Not too many available.
And there's nobody, John. Right. There's nobody you go, oh, come on. That guy is way better. Like, this is about filling a roster spot, replacing Avery Bradley, like in terms of actually what he does on the floor. That's all going to be done internally with the guys that are still there between Caruso and Rondo and, you know, KCP. Danny Green, like that combination of guys, they're going to be who replaces Bradley.
Are we sure they're going to replace him?
They'll sign someone. There's no reason not to. There's no reason to. At some point, you want to have that 15th guy because you don't want to go into this situation where, you know, the ramp up is like Jared Dudley's been on the internet all day today on Twitter talking about soft tissue injuries and like, that's a big part of this. Guys are going to coming back and ramping up really quickly after a layoff that's longer than a typical offseason. And you know, for, even beyond COVID, there's a real chance of injury, like normal basketball injury. And so you want to have a roster of as many guys that are capable of playing as possible.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, how this all works out. And you know, COVID is such a wild card in all this. You know, the Lakers are losing Avery Bradley by choice. He's opting out. Malcolm Brogdon, who's one of the big keys for Indiana, announced he had coronavirus today. Nikola Jokic, who I think you would agree Denver can't win anything without him,
correct,
announced that he has coronavirus. And I keep thinking, I think, Brian, the NBA has the best chance to pull off a season. I think they've done the most preparation. I think they've put up the most safety precautions. Dr. Fauci has said he likes the NBA plan. But you look around sports today, and golf, there's six people that have opted out of the golf tournament this week, the Travelers, because five caddies got COVID. There's baseball teams where 13, 14 people in the Phillies organization came down with COVID. Football, I mean, I'm not so sure that any of this stuff goes off the way we think it's going to go off. What's your level of confidence that we're going to have full sports on August 1?
I was really pessimistic at the beginning of this. I got more optimistic as time was going on and we started to see the numbers come down, and we as a nation seem to be bending the curve. I'm looking at a tweet right now from Nate Silver, you know, does the analytics at 538. He's got a list of the states with 1,000 new cases. Some high population states in here, but again, these numbers are really quite high. California, Texas, Florida, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina. And like, the NBA, I think, is the best shot because they have the smallest rosters.
They're doing it all in one place,
it's basically like an island in terms of the ability to control access in and out. So I think, you know, the guys like Brogdon and Jokic who have it now, they quarantine and theoretically are fine by the time they get to Orlando. I'm more optimistic about basketball, but I don't see how baseball does this without some sort of interruption. And football, forget about it. There's the social distancing asked me, but you can't social distance and play football. The rosters have to be large because of the nature of the game. And you're talking about 17 weeks plus training camps. I don't see how they get through this. Like, just, you know, guys would have to quarantine themselves and their families would have to quarantine and ever, like, for months on end. And I don't see how this works. College sports, forget about it. You know, it's sad. I don't like saying it, but it's not going to work the way we think it's going to work. I agree with you.
And then in terms of the NBA, like Oladipo and Jokic coming down with corona, I've heard two interesting things I didn't think of. You know, when I first heard it, I go, oh, that's
Oladipo
terrible.
Or Brogdon? Brogdon, I think.
Oh,
right?
Thank you. I said Oladipo. It's Brogdon. Yeah. Oladipo's trying to work his way back from an injury. It's Malcolm Brogdon that got hurt. They're both on the same team. I heard one fan say, hey, it's a good thing they got it now, because then it, you know, we don't know for sure that you can't get it twice, but most studies indicate that it's highly unlikely you would get it twice. And that if these big star players like Jokic go through it now before anybody even gets to Orlando, that it's not necessarily a bad thing. The other side of it, though, is, Brian, that it is just the COVID numbers in general are spiking like crazy, especially in Florida. So they're going to test these players every other day, and they're going to test them on both days before they fly down to the bubble, and they're going to test. How realistic is it that every team isn't going to get hit with at least one positive case?
Oh, I think they all are. I mean, the NBA is counting on it. The NBA's plan is not built around nobody gets COVID. It's contain COVID, it's control it, and it's isolated. But it is the foundation of that plan is not nobody gets it or we have to shut down. I mean, sports have moved well past that. It was the thing, like, we would talk about, like, the minute a player gets COVID, the leagues will have to shut down. They'll have to stop. And that's exactly what happened when Rudy Gobert, you know, tested positive. That was the end of it. This time around, it's much more, especially in this situation and this setup, the NBA feels that they can do contact tracing. They can isolate other people around them. But if you start to see two or three or four players on a team contract something, or, you know, staff, and then two or three, like, they might have to pull entire. It doesn't seem inconceivable, right, that they'd have to pull an entire team. Like, something weird could absolutely happen while they're down there.
Do you think any star players, like I'm talking first, second team All-NBA caliber player, could opt out because he was scared of getting COVID and not get blowback? Because I wouldn't hold it against him. I really wouldn't.
Not on a good team. I think if Bradley Beal said no, that's sort of like, you know, the Heisman Trophy candidate on the mediocre team who decides not to go play in the Las Vegas Bowl. Like, it's something like that. But if you're LeBron or AD or Giannis, or, you know, a star on a team that has a chance to really has a chance to win a title, that's more like, you know, Trevor Lawrence saying no to the Fiesta Bowl. Like, if you have a chance to really win, I fans will demolish stars that don't show up. I don't think it's fair, but I think that's exactly what would happen.
Because did you see the tweets from Evan Fournier? Evan Fournier basically came out and torched Davis Bertans because he thinks Bertans is dropping out of... Okay, so here's what he wrote. Seriously, though, if you think it's okay to sit and watch your teammates play while you're perfectly healthy, it says a lot about you. I really wouldn't have a problem with a star. If Paul George said, you know what, I'm out, I really wouldn't hold that against him. Let's open the phones and see if people would. I can't imagine people would, but maybe. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We got Radio Tinder coming up for you later this hour. Brian, this will be your virgin voyage into Radio Tinder.
Very well, good sort of melding of things here. Yes, I am a virgin in Radio Tinder.
Okay,
I hope to solve that problem by playing the game.
And coming up at the top of the hour, as Lindsay doesn't like to say, 4 o'clock, baseball super agent Scott Boras will join us on the show. That's coming up in 35 minutes. Mason in Ireland, Brian Kamenetsky in for Mace, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland. Brian Kamenetsky sitting in for Mace. We're talking about players who elect to opt out of the bubble. Avery Bradley did it. I have zero problem with what Avery Bradley did. And I'm a huge Laker fan. I really want him to win the title. I think Avery has young children. Brian, I'll tell you a story that I've told on the air before, but I haven't told it in a while. I think this is my 9th year of doing Lakers play-by-play. I had never missed a game until this year. Now, Chick had some insane streak of like 26 years without ever missing a game. I Chick's my broadcast idol, so I have no idea how he did it. But he just was not, no matter what happened, he was not missing a game. And so earlier this year in December, before COVID, my son, who was 17 at the time, had an epileptic seizure. He had never had one before. It came out of nowhere. We had to call the paramedics. They took him to the hospital. I was supposed to leave the next day for a Lakers road trip to go to Orlando, Miami. It was like the longest road trip of the year. I went to the hospital with him. I rode in the ambulance with him. We got him under control. He was fine. But I didn't know whether or not he was going to have another one, and I didn't know what I was dealing with. And I can tell you that while I told myself, Chick is my idol and I'm never going to miss a game unless I absolutely have to, I didn't hesitate I didn't go on the plane. I didn't go. I missed two games right away. But what popped into my head when I was listening to Avery Bradley's or reading Avery Bradley's statement about how he has a 6-year-old who has upper respiratory issues and probably wouldn't be allowed in the bubble anyway. I totally got it. I'm telling you that in that scenario, and he wrote this, Avery wrote this in his statement. He said, as much as I'm committed to my Laker teammates and to winning a championship, the reason I do this is for my family. I can't tell you how inconsequential missing those games was to me, considering what I was dealing with. And I never thought I would feel that way until it hit me. And I think those are the types of decisions that players are making now. That some of these players are looking at COVID and they're looking at going into these environments that these various sports are coming up with. And again, as we've been talking about, basketball is the safest environment. They've done the most to try and protect their players. Baseball and football are like kind of winging it. You know, they're letting players stay at home and they're going to fly on planes. They're going to stay in hotels. I think that if a player opts out because he doesn't want to risk it, he doesn't want to bring COVID into his house for even the possibility of it, how can I hold that against him? I just can't do it. And I can't imagine other fans will. Am I being naive?
Oh, yes, you absolutely are. have you been to, like, Twitter ever? I think that some of it's going to depend a little bit on why. Nobody's going to pick on Avery Bradley for putting his children ahead of, you know, the Lakers. Also, Avery Bradley's a role player. I think the further up the ladder you go and the more, quote unquote, selfish the reason seems, like, are you doing it because you're going to be a free agent like Davis Bertans is? Like, you pull that move on a good team, fans are going to crush you. I think there are going to be guys like, we don't know. And one of the things that I think is scary about COVID, and I think that athletes are trying to point out to people, is that nobody knows quite what the long-term ramifications are of having it. John, like you and I, we get it. We go through it, you know, and we come out the other side. And let's say we lost 10% of our athletic ability, our lung capacity. That's not going to make any kind of real difference in our lives. But they say that could happen if that happened with an athlete where their lung function was damaged in some way, that could be the end of their career. That could be the difference between staying in the league and not being good enough to play. So if you don't want to get it, if you're worried about being put in a situation where you're going to potentially put your career at risk, not because you're worried about dying. Everybody always jumps to that. Well, you're not going to die. They're young. They're athletic. They're not going to die. That's probably true, but that doesn't mean that it won't have any impact on them. And I think that's the part that fans miss when they get all over these guys for potentially having some concerns about playing, whether it's the NBA or any other sport.
Here's Chris in Pasadena. Oh, he dropped out. It seems to me, Brian, that, like, okay, for example, let me make it harder. It's been reported that Dwight Howard is undecided about whether or not he's going to go onto the Orlando campus. If he decides not to, again, maybe I'm being naive. I have no issue with it. I mean, the systemic racism in this country is real. The things these guys are fighting for is real. I don't have a problem. You think other fans are gonna?
Yeah, I do. I think there will be fans, particularly, again, in basketball, you might have a more sympathy for players who aren't there, aren't playing because they want to really stay committed and focused on this question of racial justice. The NFL, probably a less sympathetic fan base. MLB, a less sympathetic fan base. Not entirely unsympathetic, but less. But also remember with Dwight, too, you know, he's got his own family questions. He's got a young son. The mother of that of the child's mom died earlier this spring. So Dwight has been the caregiver for this young boy who just lost his mother. Like, the idea that he would have to go to a place where the kid couldn't go with him and be there for, I mean, what? Like, if the Lakers get there in July, August, September, hopefully into October. That's 3.5-4 months away from this kid who just lost his mom. My dad's going to go away and work? Like, you know, these are real human beings with real issues. And if you and I, as regular people, if they told me the only way I'm going to the Orlando bubble is if they said your job depends on it, you lose your job if you don't go, lose your health insurance. That's the only reason I'm going. Otherwise, I don't want to go. I have zero interest in going.
Yeah.
Why are these guys different?
Brian, here's something that's going to make sense to you, but not necessarily to everybody in the audience. You need to reconnect. In the meantime, I will take Chris in Pasadena. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man. How do you feel about somebody who voluntarily sits out?
Got no problem with it. Got no problem whatsoever. You know, for whatever reason, for the COVID, for the protests, I have no problem with it because this is a wacky time. I understand that. And I respect Avery's his decision to sit out.
I think that the more people deal with this, with COVID and deal with everything that we're, different people are going to react differently. Mason and I are different about this. Mason is very, very scared of COVID. I've kind of made the decision that I'm going to wear a mask everywhere, but start to get back to living. And so I take more risks than he does, but I don't hold it against him that he won't go anywhere. I think that's a personal choice, and he's trying to tip the percentages towards him. Right. Which, yeah, and so if Avery Bradley or any other player, Brian, is doing that, I don't know how I hold that against him.
I don't either.
Right? Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Now we do win it all. Suppose like Dwight and, you know, now Avery's not going to play. Do you think they should get a ring?
I do.
Of course.
I absolutely do. And I think they will get a ring. I don't know that what happens, I think, Brian, is at the end of the year, the players vote on whether you give somebody a half share, a full share, a quarter share. I can't imagine. Well, it's not up to me, and I shouldn't assume. But, Chris, I can't. If I were a player, I would vote to give each one of them a full share. Because they helped lead them to the best record in the Western Conference before the pandemic. So to me, it's Brian. I don't even think twice about it.
I would be floored if they got anything but a full share. And like if he tore an ACL or twisted his ankle, you'd give him a ring. I mean, like DeMarcus Cousins could get a ring. He that's how well respected the guy was in the locker room. And so the idea that you wouldn't give it to guys who played 60 something games. And then backed out in the middle of a pandemic for any reason, I would be shocked.
Thanks, Chris, for the phone call. All right, coming up next, Radio Tinder. If you haven't heard it yet, Brian's never played. This has the potential to be either really good or disastrous, and it's next, 710 ESPN. All right, it's time for Radio Tinder. Brian and I throw subjects at the other guy. And the other guy has the opportunity to either swipe left, which means no interest in it, move on, or swipe right, let's get into it. All right, Brian, you ready?
Yes.
All right, I'll go first. Here's the first topic, and you either swipe left or swipe right. Actor Dennis Quaid, who is 66, married 27-year-old St. Louis native Laura Savoy earlier this month. Oh. Savoy is 39 years younger than he is. Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. I'm looking her up. We're from the same hometown. I'm wondering if I know her or know people who know her.
Well, okay, now wait a minute.
Swipe left.
By swipe left, that means you don't want to hear anymore.
No, swipe right then. Okay. The one where we talk about this.
Okay, glad to hear it. I figured you might catch the St. Louis connection. So what's really interesting about this is this woman, this Laura Savoy, is not surprisingly super attractive, but she's also in no way ditzy. She attended Pepperdine, where she was the class valedictorian, went on to get a master's degree in accounting at Notre Dame. Yet when she met Dennis Quaid at a business event in May of 2019, they hit it off, and despite their 39-year age difference, they are now married. They were going to have a big fancy wedding overseas, and then they moved it back to the States. They're going to do it in Nashville, and then the pandemic just scuttled all of it, so they decided a couple of weeks ago, let's just get married. Now, Brian, when you hear this, Quaid's 66.
Yes.
Savoy is 27. Do you shake your head in disgust, or do you say, love is mysterious, you never know where you're going to find it?
I feel like multiple things can be true at once. do I find a 39-year age gap a little bit, you know, much, a little skeevy? Yes. Am I just going to automatically assume that they don't actually love each other, or that she... she doesn't love him? No, I mean, she can love him and also find, you know, some benefit to being Dennis Quaid's wife. You know, Dennis Quaid is a youthful and plays athletes in movies, so he's pretty good. He's in good shape. He's fit.
It's his fourth marriage. Does that play into it at all?
Well, it makes me wonder how much is left.
Lindsay, you're a little older than 27, not much. Would you consider going out with 66-year-old Dennis Quaid?
Definitely not.
Just based on age alone?
No, because he's married now.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good-looking guy, but I think there's way too much of an age gap there. I'm not an ageist. I just think that anyone who could be double your age, I think that's too much.
The big question I always have with relations like this is, does she want kids? Because if that's the case, then now you're having kids with somebody who, you know, 60, and by the time you have the kids, you know, they're going to be 70. Obviously, Dennis Quaid can afford, you know, nannies and stuff like that. But like, right, when this kid is 10, Dennis Quaid is going to be 80. So it's like, we had a baby. I was 42. I think it was about 42. And like, I can tell the difference between the one that came when I was 42 and the one that came when I was 32. Like, it's a big difference. I can't imagine having a baby when I'm 80, you know, right, a 10-year-old when I'm 80. So stuff like that, I think, is important.
What's interesting too is that, I'll tell you an interesting story. So the late, great Dr. Buss, who is considered to be the greatest owner in sports, had a thing for younger women, of course. So he was kind of famous for it. And one night I was out at a dinner with three other couples. So there were eight people total at this dinner. And it was at Fleming's. And we walked in and Dr. Buss was there with a younger woman. And I went over and Lisa went over and we said hi to him. And we came back to the table and all three of the other men then got up and went out and to see, you know, the dynamic. And then all three other women went out to see the dynamic. And it led to a debate for about an hour that all the men were envious. The men were jealous and the women were a little bit disgusted. And I thought maybe it just breaks on those lines. It breaks on gender lines. That, like, Lindsay, you said you wouldn't even consider it.
It's super creepy. Yeah.
So, Lindsay, you wouldn't consider it specific. Like, what if you didn't know how old the guy was, but you thought
there's... I was going to say, I guess, like, there's always going to be that situation where you meet somebody and you get to know them a little bit, and then you find out that things are not always as they appear to be, whether that's the age or they have kids you didn't know about or something like that. Yeah, I think that a lot of times once there's already a connection there, it's kind of hard to go back on it. So,
all right, Funch, next topic. Brian.
Let's do this one. Sticking with the dating and Tinder theme. Oh, shoot, where'd it go? All right, here we go. If you want to attract women, says a new study, keep your cat out of your dating profile. Women in a study were showed photos of two men pictured with and without a cat in their
profile. Okay, so you gotta picture. All right, so swipe left or swipe right. I'll swipe right. Tell me more.
All right, so, and what they found was, I was gonna ask you, do you think that, I actually gave it away in the setup, sorry about that.
Right, yeah, okay.
First time, I'll do better tomorrow.
Yeah.
So women, the response is like, if you have a cat in your profile, you are far less likely to get the swipe right than you are if you do not have a cat in your profile. Women hate men with cats is basically the summary of this story.
It doesn't surprise me. I'm a dog guy. I think a lonely guy at home with his cat comes off a little... I don't want to say weird because that's mean.
No, but there's a word. There's a word here that was used in the study that they are less what? A man holding a cat is less.
Is it mean to say less masculine?
That is the exact word that came out of the study. You are less masculine if you're holding a cat. Meanwhile, you're more neurotic and less dateable.
Lindsay, you buying that?
I could see why that would be a thing. Because I totally get, like, I think dogs, like, of course, most people love dogs and they're going to see a dog and be like, oh, I love that. But something about guys and cats makes people I don't know, makes them like unsure or whatever. I don't have a problem with it, but I could see like the general perception. I get it.
All right, Funch, next. Okay, Brian, there is a petition that has received thousands of signatures to rename Columbus, Ohio, Flavor Town. Swipe left or swipe right?
My wife hates Guy Fieri. Let's swipe right.
Okay. This is from The Hill, and Guy Fieri is only part of it. Now, Lindsay, you're from Ohio, like Mason. I did not know this, that apparently Columbus, its namesake, it's named after Christopher Columbus, is brought up in the TV show The Good Place because it had a reputation back before America was discovered for raping, slave trading, and genocide. That is not exactly a proud legacy, the petition states. Why not rename the city Flavortown? The new name is twofold. For one, it honors Central Ohio's proud heritage as a culinary crossroads and one of the nation's largest test markets for the food industry. It's also the birthplace, as you point out, Brian, of celebrity chef Guy Fieri. So that's you would rename Columbus Flavortown. Brian, do you think this takes?
Yes, I absolutely think in
no way. No Columbus fewer, is too big.
In no fewer than 2 years, we will be referring to the home of Ohio State University as Flavortown. I think that is 100% going to happen. In the same way that if it gets on the ballot, enough people will vote for it, just thinking it's a goof, that they will actually end up renaming Columbus Flavortown.
Lindsay, as the only Ohioan on the show today, thumbs up or thumbs down on renaming Columbus Flavortown?
Thumbs down, because, you know, Guy Fieri may be a great, what commercial is he in? Is it Fridays? He may be a great commercial spokesperson for Fridays, but I don't think that he speaks for the entire city of Columbus. And I don't know if people want to be like thought of, you know, connected with Guy Fieri forever. They should change the name for sure. But, you know, if they feel they need to do that. But I don't think Flavortown's a good name.
Flavortown is the way to go. All right, Fudge, next topic.
I believe Flavortown is the only option available for renaming Columbus. That's it.
It did get a lot of press. All right, last one's yours. Go for it.
All right. There is a famous musical instrument used for possibly, John, one of your favorite songs that is up for sale and could fetch upwards of $25,000.
I'll swipe right. What is it? Now you got me curious, thinking what song it is. What is it?
It is a synthesizer that was played on the Purple Rain sessions.
Ooh.
On Purple Rain itself. And they believe it could get $25,000. It's an Oberheim OB synth with a Lin M1 drum machine, played by Prince on the Purple Rain track.
Much like your brother Andy, I am a world's renowned Prince apologist. Prince can do no wrong in my eyes. I would not buy it, but someone will. There are a lot of people that bleed Prince purple. Mm-hmm. And that's going to fetch a pretty penny. That's going to...
What is the most you would spend on an instrument you knew Prince played?
Not a lot.
25K is a lot.
Yeah, I'm not a memorabilia guy in any way, shape, or form. You've been to my house. You know, if you walked through my house, you wouldn't know I'm a sportscaster. There's nothing in my house sports related. I just think I have those memories and I have those experiences, but I'm not somebody like I know some Laker fans that have paid top dollar and have great collections of everything mm-hmm. from Kareem's goggles to Magic shoes that he wore when he in game six of the 80 finals. But that's not me. I'm not that guy. How about you?
You also don't play an instrument, though, right? Like if you actually
Correct.
Played the guitar,
Correct.
Or played the key, like that might be different. Then you could actually get some enjoyment out of it.
You want
to sit there
again. I'm not a memorabilia guy, but I am jealous of one piece of memorabilia that Roger Lodge has. Do you know Roger, who
I do.
Who hosts the Afternoon Drive radio show on the Angel Station, KLAA? Roger's a really good dude. He has Do you remember the original match game with Gene Rayburn as the host with Charles Nelson Reilly and Brett Summers? And the original match game had this long, skinny microphone that Gene Rayburn would walk around with. And Roger found it at a charity auction and bought it. And he's got it up in his house.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yes, but I don't know what he paid for it, and it's probably more than I would have paid. All right, coming up next, that's it for Radio Tinder. Coming up next, baseball super agent Scott Boras will join the show. Mason in Ireland, Brian Kamenetsky in for Mace, 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.